Good morning. Good morning. I'm really glad to have you all here and to be with you this morning. I thought to get started we might play a little game, my version of The Price is Right. So I have two pictures up here that we're getting up. It's all good. It's all good. One of these cameras sold for over $2 million. So the question is it the one over on the left or the one over on the right? What are our thoughts? We've got some rights, right? Right? Yeah? Yeah? Are we going with the right? It's this one over here on the left. Crazy, right? Absolutely crazy. All right, we've got another one. We got another one. Yeah.
Is there
two cameras actually there or just one? Well, there might be the two. I'm not 100% sure. They got both cameras. Probably got both cameras. Let's hope, right? All right, so our next picture is we've got these two balloon sculptures. They're not actually balloons, but they're sculptures, like, made of metal or something. One of these balloons, we've got our bunny, and we've got our doggo, and one of them sold for 15,000 euros. Thoughts? Guesses? Bunny or dog? Bunny? Yes, it was the bunny. The dog, I think, is something you can get for like $40 or $50 somewhere. So we have one last one. We have a vase that sold for over $9 million. This one, the one the guy's holding? It's the black one? It's got to be the gold one. It's the one that the man is holding. As much as you all, and I know I personally, wouldn't spend that kind of money on any of these items, if you were, you would sure want to know what the value is of something. You want to make sure that you know which item you're actually purchasing, right? And which one is of the higher value. When you look at things like this, I think you start seeing the importance, too, of knowing what the difference is between the value of things. And I think some things are easier to see the value of, and some things are harder. I think sometimes it's easier to see the value of what someone else puts on something than maybe even yourself. Like, we can Google, how much did someone pay for this vase, right? And we can see that. But for ourselves and in our own lives, do we know what we put value on? Do we know where our value lies? Where is your treasure, and how do we determine that? Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where our treasure is and what we value, in discerning that, is so important, because that's where our heart is. That's where our heart lies. And this has always been important, but I think especially even now, to understand the difference between what has value, what has treasure, what is real treasure. And I think it's key for all of us. That is something that God has been teaching me over the years and challenging me in so many ways to keep what I value and what I treasure in the right space. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. If this is true, that means where our treasure is, where our heart is, and everything that we do flows from that. All that we are and all that we do flows from that. So today I want to take some time, and I want us to first determine and take a look and see at where is our treasure. How do we determine what that looks like? How do we find that? And then what does real treasure look like? And how do we live out of that true treasure? So I just want to pray over us again before we fully dive into all this. God, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you that you are here with us. We invite you into this place. We want you to be here with us. God, and I ask that you just come in and you silence any other voices that might be trying to speak this morning, any other thoughts or distractions. We just cancel those assignments right now in the name of Jesus. And we say only the Holy Spirit can speak and move and breathe in this place, God. And I pray, God, your words will come forth. Your words will be spoken to your children. God, that what you want them to know, what you want them to hear will go deep into their hearts, God. And any extra of my words that are not important, I pray that those just fall away. But that today, God, you speak to your children and that you bless them and that they feel and know their identity of who they are in you, God. We love you and we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. So the question is, so how do we determine where our treasure is? I think Tim has talked a little bit about this in the past, but I also had a missionary friend of mine named Rebecca Leland. She works with Child Evangelism Fellowship here in Chicago. And she said recently, she was talking and said, time and energy is a currency. You choose where you spend it. And I felt that was so key and so spot on. Time and energy is a currency and you choose where you spend it. Years ago, you might have asked the question, or I might have asked the question, pull out your checkbook. Tell me where you've been writing checks. What's been, where have you been spending your money? Now it's pull out your phone, pull out your banking app. See, where is your money going? Where you spend your money is something that you value. You might not be spending 15,000 euros on a bunny, balloon bunny, but where is the space that you are spending your money? Are you tithing? Are you giving to God? Are you able to trust God that he is providing for you enough to be able to trust him with what was already his to begin with? So one of the spaces that we can tell where our treasure is in our finances and where we spend our money. Another one is your schedule. There is 1,440 minutes in a day. 1,440 minutes in a day. Where are those minutes going? In a week, there's 10,080 minutes. Where are those minutes going? Who has those minutes? Who are you giving those minutes to? What are you giving those minutes to? It's kind of interesting. There's on your, like, if you have the Instagram app, which I do, it actually will tell you how long you've been spending on the app. I don't go there very often because sometimes it can be scary. But if you really want to take a look at it, if you really want to know where are your minutes going, it's good to take a look at. It's good to see and know, where's my time being spent? Another question is, where's your energy being spent? A lot of us might say working. Working takes a lot of our energy, but that's because we value provision, right? We value the people around us that we want to take care of, and that's a good one. But just think, where else is your energy going? I think another thing that affects our energy is our thoughts. Our thoughts can either bring us energy or take them down. So that comes to my last point. Where are our thoughts? Our thoughts, the things that are in our mind, is something else that we value and that we treasure. Now, you might say, my thoughts are really negative. They're bad. I don't like them, so I don't value them. But it's still something you're giving time and energy towards, even if they're something that is negative and that is tearing you down. So on the sheet that you have, go ahead and take a second here and write down two things that you're spending your time, your energy, and your money on. And then fill out what are two thoughts that are running consistently through my head. And when you write those down and you think about those, if those are things that you're giving value to, and maybe they're things you don't want to be, let's take time even today at the end of the service, let's pray through those things. Maybe it's more than just a one-day thing. Let's continue to connect up. Let's pray. Let's walk through this. Let's get ourselves to a place where we're spending our time and our energy and our resources is of things of value. Because it's important to ask the question, because it matters. Because as Proverbs, again, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. If this is true, that means where our treasure is, our heart is. And so is all that we are and all that we do. The rest of your life is flowing from this, from what you treasure. Who you are and what you're bringing to the world. Jesus taught us in how to pray, Matthew 6:10, and he says, God's kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is what we're treasuring, is what we're bringing to the earth, is it bringing heaven? Is it bringing heaven? So I think that transitions us into our next question. What does real treasure look like? What is it of heaven that God wants us to bring here? What is the treasure of heaven? Matthew 6:19-21 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. As you look at this verse, do you see it? It's the stuff that can't be stolen. It's the stuff that the moths and the vermin can't come in and destroy. So then we have to ask the question, what is it that can't be stolen? What is it that we can't lose? What is it that the thieves can't come in and break in and steal? And I think the answer comes in the greatest commandment. Matthew 22:37-40 says, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. One and these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Our love for God and our love for others cannot be stolen. What do we get to take with us to heaven? Well, that could be a big theological discussion, and you could go deep with that, but there's two things we know. People who receive Jesus are coming to heaven with us, and God is there. The investment that we put into the people here, the people that we bring with us, and the relationship that we have with God, and the investment we put into that, we take with us. That is treasure in heaven. When Martha gets upset with Mary for not helping her in the party and getting the food ready, and she is upset and wants her to help, Jesus' response in Luke 10:14 says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Her time at Jesus' feet will not be stolen. It cannot be stolen. She has that always. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. See, we won't need hope anymore when we get to heaven. All of our hopes will be fulfilled. We will be where we dreamed to be. Faith. God will be standing right before us. Where's the faith that we need when he's standing right there? But love? Love remains. Love stays. Love lasts. Love is what lasts. When we love the Lord our God with all our heart and everything in us and we love others, this is what we take with us because it is what lasts. Years ago, when I was first learning about the excitement of praying for people's healing, which is super exciting. I'm going to pump up Tim's spiritual class healing this week. It's so exciting. Watching God heal people. And I was like on this high. I was on this healing high. And I went and I did ministry in another country for a good chunk of a year. And I went, I want to go and I just want to see all the miracles. I was so excited. I was so excited. But God made me pause for a second. He made me pause and he's like, but what about the people? Do you care about them? Do you love them? I had gone on this high wanting to see the excitement and on the adrenaline of watching people be healed. But if you're praying for people and just looking for the healing and you don't have love for these people, like praying for them can be a loving thing. But if you're going for the miracles and you miss the person, what was the point? If they're healed and they walk away and they don't feel loved, what did they gain? They gained healing. That was great. But what about the love? 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 puts it this way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but have not love, I gain nothing. See, God wanted me to love. He wanted me to love. He first wanted me to care about the people that I was ministering for and praying for. And then in that, through that love, help set them free. See, that's what Jesus did. He came in love. He came to set us free, but his motivation was love. His desire was reconciliation. His desire was to bring us back to connection with the Father. So Jesus came. And he came to deal with all of our sin, to take and carry all of the things that we had broken, all of our mistakes, and he came to restore us, but he came in love. He came wanting us to have that connection with him and to bring us back to the Father. To do great things, friends, to do great things, but without love, doesn't have value in the kingdom. It's about love. It's bringing people back to God. Love is the greatest. So if this is true, then what does love look like? This brings us to our final question. What does it look like to live out of this love and this treasure? What does it look like to live out of an overflow and touching lives through love and connecting with our lives in love to Jesus? What does love look like? Love looks like what Jesus did. Love puts a value on a person's existence and say, you matter. You were born for such a time as this. You have something to bring. You have something that comes to the table that we need. You are needed. You are good and you matter. And your life has so much value. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is what Jesus says. He says, I came that you would have life, that you would live, but not just any life. Not just any life, a full life. A full life, that it would be abundant. The value that God put on our lives was Jesus' life. He put Jesus' life as our value. Friends, God sees you. He knows you. He loves you. He wants so much good for you. Friends, you are seen, you are known, and you are loved by God, but not just by God, by others too. There are others that are surrounding you that love you. The enemy is coming. He is still stealing, killing, and destroying. That is what he does. And he wants us and others to rock around and feel like our existence doesn't matter, because you know why? Then he will not have to fight us. We are powerful. The gates of hell will not prevail against us. But if we don't know it, if we don't know it, if we let the enemy tell us what he wants us to believe, he doesn't have to fight us. His battle is over if he can get in our mind that we have no value and we are going to lose. But the battle has already been won. We are on the side of victory. Who you are and what you do, it matters. And people need to know this. If the enemy can warp our view of ourselves and not knowing that we have a place in this victory, then his life is a whole lot easier. What's interesting, if you think about how God made us, how he created us, if you notice where our eyes are, we can't see our whole selves. You need a mirror or someone else to help you see fully who you are. In that way, God created us to need each other, to help us show each other who we truly are. 1 Corinthians 13:7-8 says, love believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. Love never ends. Love looks like turning to someone and saying, this is who you are. You were born for a time such as this, and declaring it over them. My grandfather passed away when I was a teenager, and I'm actually at that point now in life where I have lived longer without him being alive than I did while he was alive. But he still is one of the people in my life that made the greatest impact. I talked about Sungshim Lupnow a little bit last time I spoke about, she wrote part of The Joyful Journey, and she has this phrase where she talks about people having shimmering eyes. That's what she talks about when people have these eyes of heaven, like you see God through their eyes. She calls them shimmering eyes. And I realized that was what my grandfather had. That was what my grandfather had. He looked at me in this way that I knew unconditionally, didn't matter what I did, that he would love me. There was nothing that I could do that would make him stop loving me. And because of this, I wanted what he had. I was like, who are you? Who are you and how do you have this? I want that. And what he talked about was, he talked about his relationship with God. He talked about how he would talk with God every day and how God would talk back to him. And I went, that's what I want. As a young child, as like an early preteen, I went, that's what I want. I want that. If his life looks so different, if his eyes look so different than everybody else's, I want what he has. And that is what brought me into the heart of God. That is what made me sit down and go, God, I'm going to start talking to you because I want what he has. And that is where my heart was turned towards the Father, where it was turned towards God. Friends, in partnering with heaven, in partnering with God, we can share the shimmering eyes of heaven with others and draw them into wanting the Father and wanting to be in the kingdom and wanting to be a child of his. Last time I preached on you become what you worship. So friends, let us worship the Lord. Let us encourage others to worship the Lord and find him. Let us turn. Let us build treasure of love with people in heaven by bringing them to the Father. And then once we have this love, let's empower the people to live fully who God has made them to be, fully where they are called. And what might be stopping them? Well, maybe sickness might be stopping them. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for that sickness to go away so that they can live fully who they are meant to be. Are there finances? Are they struggling with finances? Well, then let's give them money that they can fully live out who God has called them to be. Do they need more empowerment from the Holy Spirit? Let's pray over them. Let's pray that they will be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's this quote from Simon Weil. It says, attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. Attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. You can't see what people need unless you give them your attention. You think about children, right? They get this. They get that attention. It's like the most valuable quantity, like valuable, that's not quite the word, but it's so valuable. They know that attention is the most valuable thing. And they come to you and they're like, hi, see me, see what I've done, anything. They just want your attention. So guys, let's learn from them. Let's learn from the children and remember and know that attention is so powerful and it's so important. Let us come into the kingdom like little children, knowing that attention has so much value. Tim's got this shirt, right? This Vineyard model, love God, love people, period. That's what we do. That's what this church is about. But I want to continue to encourage you to do that and to believe the truth about what God says you are and how God sees others. I use this quote all the time, but I think it's so important. Bill Johnson says, I can't afford to have a thought in my head that isn't true about what God says about me. It's so important. It's so important. Because what you value, what you believe, that's where your heart is. And that's where you will go. So just take a minute right now. The next questions on your sheet is, what is one way you can give people around you the gift of your attention, and in doing so, help them see themselves through God's eyes? Just one way. I know God will probably speak to you about so many more, but just what's one way right now? And even in that too, the next question is, what's God's heart for you? What does he want to show you about how he delights in you? Because friends, we've got to protect our hearts. We've got to know how God sees us and soak in that and be in that and not let go of that. Because your heart, it's the wellspring of life. While you're writing those things down, I just want to read you Proverbs 4, 20 through 27, because I just think it's so beautiful. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ears to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Friends, guard your heart, for everything else you do flows from it. Look, keep your eyes gaze directly before you. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on the Father. Friends, let us challenge ourselves to take a look at what our treasure is, where we are spending our time and our money and our resources, and let us find where we can put our treasure more in God and in others, and let's look for the opportunities to see people, to truly see them and help them see themselves for who they truly are. This is treasure in heaven. The time we spend in the ways we invest with God, in the ways that we invest in others. Where your treasure is, our heart is, and so is all that we are and all that we do. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. I want to worship, put your eyes and your focus on Jesus, and then I've got some things I want to do with you after for ministry time.
We're just going to sing the chorus of the song. Just be still with him and just sing some of those words. Where is God asking you to spend your time? Sometimes we just have to be still long enough to hear what he has to say.
Ministry team to keep just letting the music be in the background, and it's been on my heart that some of you all might not have had that experience of what that shimmering eyes looks like, and that you might not have had the same childhood that I did. So I want to pray for each one of you today, because maybe the eyes that you have seen yourself through have been scary or scared or stoic. And I want to pray that you would see yourself through Jesus's eyes. And this might be really strange, but I want to come and pray over each one of you, and I want to look you directly in the eye, and I just want to pray a blessing over you. And let heaven touch you. Let God touch you. So if you guys could just keep singing, I'm going to do an overall prayer, then if you guys could keep singing while I just go pray over each person, that would be amazing. So God, we thank you for putting us here on earth for this time. Thank you for the plans and the purposes that you have for each individual person here. God, thank you for the love you have for them. And God, I pray that you would bless, that you would just downpour heaven down on each person here, that they would see themselves through your eyes, God, that you would give them shimmery eyes, that you would give them eyes to impact and touch the world around them. That when people see them and they see the love in their eyes, that they would know. They would know, the world would see that they want what we have. But before we go give it out to the world, I just want to bless every person here. to receive it. God, I just bless you in the name of Jesus. I just bless you to see yourself fully. That their gaze will never be lost, that their eyes will be fixed fully on you, that they will not turn from the right to the right or to the left, but they will go steadily ahead, God, and that you would protect their heart and you would partner with them and they would partner with you to protect their heart, their wellspring of life. God, and I pray over these people here that they would be treasure makers, that they would bring treasure, that they would have their treasure stored up, storehouses and storehouses of treasure in heaven, that they would bring people along with them on this beautiful journey. God, and that we'd have stories to tell in heaven, stories to tell in heaven of the people that we brought with us along on this journey. And we just pray a hedge of protection over all that God is doing and all that God has done today, God, that nothing will be stolen, that as we walk out, nothing will be stolen. Just pray all these things in the name of Jesus. And now you're a kingdom people all week.